Hello, this is Les Schulte with the second half of the Bloomington Normal Pantograph for June the 16th. And we'll start the second half with the obituary notices. The funerals today, June the 16th, 2017. Teresa Champagne, and that's spelled C-H-A-M-P-A-G-N-E, will be held today at 10 a.m. at the Epiphany Catholic Church in Normal. Franklin Del Haynes. The funeral will be held at 11 a.m. at the Duffy Pills Memorial Home in Fairbury. Beverly Murphy. The funeral will be held at 11 a.m. at the Calvert Metzler Memorial Home in Bloomington. And Norman Simmons. The funeral will be held at 11 a.m. at the Family Life Center First Christian Church in Clinton. Funerals pending as of June the 16th, 2017, include William M. Cook Sr., age 67, of Toluca, who passed away on June the 14th at 6:45 p.m. Wednesday at the Aperion Care Toluca, the Calvert Johnson and Froelich Memorial Home in Toluca, handling the services. Marguerite Peg Deutsch, and that's spelled D-E-U-T-S-C-H, age 92, of Bloomington, passed away on Wednesday, June the 14th, at her home, Carmody Flynn Funeral Home in Bloomington, handling the services. Douglas Allen Gondek, G-O-N-D-E-K, of Decatur, passed away on Thursday at 9:50 a.m. at his home, Calvert Funeral Home in Clinton, handling the arrangements. Wayne Hudson Henry, age 72, passed away on Wednesday, June the 14th, at OSF St. Joseph Medical Center in Bloomington, Beck Memorial Home in Bloomington, handling the arrangements. Marion J. Homan, age 80, passed away on Tuesday at 11:50 p.m., June the 13th, at the Aperion Care in Bloomington, East Lawn Funeral Home in Bloomington, handling the arrangements. Joanne M. Litterly, age 82, of Elkhart, passed away on Wednesday, June the 14th at 10:45 p.m. at the Christian Village in Lincoln, Peasley Funeral Home, Lincoln, handling the arrangements. Dixie Hayworth Martins, that's spelled M-A-R-T-E-N-S, passed away on Wednesday, June the 14th at 7:24 p.m. at the Advocate Broman Medical Center in Normal, Kibler Bradley Rustman Memorial Home in Bloomington, handling the arrangements. Turning now to the opinion page from the June 16th Pantograph. This article is entitled, The Editorial Cheers to Relay Diggers and AG. Cheers to organizers for Relay for Life for McLean County for acknowledging changes needed to be made to keep the annual fundraiser fun, vibrant, and meaningful. This year's Relay, set for 4 p.m. June the 23rd to 4 p.m. June the 24th at the Normal Community High School track, will include games, music, entertainment, reflection, and prayer. Last year's relay attracted about 1,200 people and raised $278,754.56 for the fight against cancer. Cheers to the students involved with the archaeological dig near Hayworth. The site, big enough to be a village, dates from A.D. 1200 to 1250. Items found during the dig provide clues to the culture of the Langford people. If you're not the Indiana Jones type, know this. Archaeology is the respectful study of past civilizations. What we learn helps us connect the past to the future. Cheers to the Illinois Attorney General's Office for its finding about the Metro Zone meeting held by the Bloomington City Council. The office found that the council illegally met in closed session for the discussion. Illinois law allows closed sessions for a variety of reasons, but not the one cited by the council. It is important that government bodies conduct the people's business in public. We're glad the Attorney General's office upholds that mandate. Jeers to the federal decision that would cut funding to the program that provides legal aid to the poor. The cuts would affect major funding for 133 programs across the country, including three in Illinois. Last year, Prairie State Legal Services represented almost 2,000 people in McLean County in 930 non-criminal cases. Everyone has a right to legal aid, regardless of their ability to pay. The potential funding cut needs to be reconsidered. Cheers to Beyond the Books Educational Foundation for its tireless work in providing money that helps kids with reading. This year, the group awarded 31 grants to teachers in McLean County Unit 5 and Bloomington District 87 schools. Stay cool this weekend and into next week as summer makes its formal entrance with accompanying heat and humidity. Don't overexert yourself, drink plenty of water, and stay in the shade. Make sure your neighbors, animals, and children are cool, hydrated, and safe. And condolences to the family, friends, and teammates of Special Olympian Barry Mock, who passed away Saturday after a medical emergency during a swimming competition at the Summer Games. We also take the opportunity to thank the lifeguards, EMTs, first responders, and hospital staff who worked so hard to save Barry. The State Games are a huge project involving thousands of people. We thank all the volunteers, coaches, families, friends, and athletes who make the games such an important part of our lives. Taking a look now at some of the editorial comments from the Your Views section of the opinion page from the Pantograph. This one is entitled, Remember Budget Mess When You Vote. For over 700 days, the General Assembly and Governor have shown the inability to resolve their differences and enact a state budget. During that time, concerned citizens, leaders from commerce, universities, school districts, human services, and the media have urged them to end the budget impasse. Advocates for human services have published alerts with data and real-life stories showing the harmful impact of the budget impasse on the health and welfare of the people they serve and the people who serve them. Reports and editorials have been published showing the impact of the budget impasse on the Illinois economy, population decline, credit rating, and the mounting pile of unpaid bills and pension obligations. Religious leaders have appealed to elected officials to fulfill the moral obligation to meet the needs of our most vulnerable, including children, older adults, and persons with disabilities. Rational and moral arguments have proved fruitless. The governor and the legislative leaders have remained unmoved. This budget impasse is all about who will control political power in Illinois. As citizens, we have the ultimate way to change the situation, our vote in the next election. I write this letter as a citizen advocate on behalf of older adults, persons with disabilities, family caregivers, and professionals and volunteers working on their behalf. When the time comes to vote in the next election, I will remember the inaction of the past 700 days and support candidates who demonstrate a commitment to community-based services for children, older adults, and persons with disability. Written by Mike O'Donnell, Bloomington. In another editorial, Hate of the Other Found Worldwide. Hatred of the other is prevalent throughout the world, including the United States. The Southern Poverty Law Center has identified 917 hate groups here, consisting of white supremacists, far-right religious groups, militias, anti-government groups, and racial groups. A sect of Islamic terrorists, namely Al-Qaeda, was behind the 9/11 attack on the United States. There have been recent terrorist crimes in England, France, and Afghanistan by Muslim terrorists, some even admitted by ISIS. It would be unfair, however, to stereotype all Muslims living in the United States and other countries as terrorists. Most Muslims are loyal citizens wherever they live, and they denounce such crimes committed in the name of Islam. London has a Muslim mayor who certainly is not a terrorist. Loyal Muslim Americans are in our military. U.S. Army Captain Humayun Khan died in service to this country. Muslims live throughout most of the United States, and the ACLU has documented that their mosques have suffered burnings and bombings. Anti-Semitism also was reported of vandals desecrating a Jewish cemetery in University City, Missouri. Synagogues have been spray-painted with swastikas, and some hate-mongers have given the Heil Hitler salute. There even are Holocaust deniers. Jewish Americans serve in our military, too. Life, for all of us, is a roll of the dice, or the chance circumstance of birth. No one chooses his parents. A baby is not born with hate on its mind. It is taught to hate. William Frinsko from Normal. Turning now to news from the local pages of the June 16th Pantograph. NIU president to step down. Northern Illinois University President Doug Baker announced at Tuesday's Board of Trustees meeting that he is stepping down in the wake of a state investigation accusing him and other administrators of mismanagement when it comes to hiring consultants. Baker called reaction to the Illinois Office of the Executive Inspector General's report released May 31st a significant distraction in his message announcing his resignation. He leaves June 30th. His contract was to expire in June 2018. Given the challenges we face and the hard work ahead, I simply couldn't stand by and let this situation continue to fester, Baker said. I regret that we have reached this point, as this is a job I love in a place I have come to call home. But I truly do believe that at this point, this course of action is best for the university. The report, provided to trustees last August and made public last month, contended NIU administrators routinely ignored ethics requirements in hiring five consultants. The Inspector General said the university hired the consultants in 2013 and 2014, employed them under the wrong classification, and kept them on staff too long. As a result, more than $1 million in taxpayer funds were spent, well in excess of the allowed limits. The report said that since Baker took office in 2013, the university repeatedly misclassified high-level, highly paid consultants as affiliate employees. It says that was done for the purpose of circumventing the procurement code's requirements. The report went on to say Baker is responsible for mismanaging NIU's resources. Baker said after the report was made public that he has worked with the university's trustees to make several policy revisions on hiring and compensation. Two Illinois newspapers published editorials saying Baker should no longer be NIU's president. Baker became NIU president in July 2013, taking over for John Peters, who had the job for 13 years. During the public comment section on Thursday's meeting, a number of NIU faculty voiced displeasure with Baker. Five dead after freight train van collide. State police have released the names of five people killed Wednesday night after their van collided with a freight train near Springfield. The victims were listed as Herbert J. Castle, Mary M. Pugsley, John A. Castle, Nell R. Castle, and Mary H. Castle. All were from Pena. Police did not provide ages for each victim, but said they were all between 77 and 89. Police said the accident happened at 6:49 p.m. Three occupants were pronounced dead on the scene, while two others were taken from the scene and later flown to St. Louis area hospitals, where they died. State police said the van was heading south on Christian County Road 1800 North, and the driver failed to yield the right-of-way to the oncoming train at a rail crossing. As a result, Unit 1, the van, was struck in its driver's side by the front of the train, police said. Christian County Sheriff Bruce A. Kettlecamp, who was at the scene, said the crash involved a Union Pacific freight train that struck the van on the county road near Illinois 16, about 6 miles east of Nokomis. The people in the vehicle had been at an ice cream social out in the country, the sheriff said. Nokomis is about 40 miles southeast of Springfield. Normal man pleads guilty in DUI deaths. A normal man is facing prison time after pleading guilty in the car crash death of a woman and her unborn child. Lance Pitch, age 28, has pleaded guilty in Christian County to aggravated driving under the influence and reckless homicide. He was accused of driving north on Illinois 48 last October when he turned into the southbound lanes and struck a vehicle carrying Jessica Tyson Reagan and her fiancé. Reagan and her unborn child were killed. The Springfield State Journal Register reports Reagan and her fiancé were reportedly on their way to paint the nursery at their new home in Morrisonville when the accident occurred. Reagan also had a young daughter from a prior relationship. Pish will likely face 3 to 14 years in prison when he's sentenced August the 29th. Exhibit features first cat tractor offline. An exhibit of antique machinery on display at the Caterpillar Visitor Center includes the very first cat to roll off the line. The fully functional tractor carries the serial number EXP0000-L. The Peoria Journal Star reports that the marking indicates the first vehicle off the California production line in 1925. It followed the merger of Caterpillar's predecessors. It and other pieces at the museum in Peoria are on loan from Matt Vierkamp. His family has a collection of 125 tractors and other machinery that began as part of a construction business. Carl Weiss, the Caterpillar Incorporated Vice President for Earth-Moving Equipment, says the pieces in the year-long exhibit are the foundation of Caterpillar's growth into a global giant. Weiss asserts, "Our brand was built with machines like this." Sender retiring will remain in community. Alan Sender, who helped to direct Chestnut Health System's growth over the past 29 years while responding to community needs, will retire July 7th. But he and his wife, retired 11th Judicial Circuit Court Chief Judge Beth Robb, plan to remain involved in the community. "We've tried to give back to our community and intend to stay and continue to contribute in, hopefully, meaningful and helpful ways," Sender said Thursday. Sender, 63, of Normal, retires from Chestnut as chief operating officer. Before he was hired by Chestnut CEO Russ Hagen in 1988, Sender spent 13 years with WJBC, WBNQ, starting as a reporter and working his way up to news operations manager. He has a bachelor's degree in finance and a master's degree in journalism. We started a family and getting up every day at 3:30 a.m., Sender was part of the morning news team, was not conducive to raising a family, Sender said of his career switch. Hagen hired Sender as Director of Administrative Services. I had a good sense to hire Alan to work at Chestnut in July 1988 to help me manage a growing organization, Hagen said in a written statement. As the organization developed, Alan became an essential part of leadership. When Sender was hired, Chestnut had a budget of about $2 million, 40 employees, almost all at 702 West Chestnut Street, and its services were predominantly substance abuse treatment. Today, Chestnut has a budget of $50 million and 710 full and part-time employees, 256 in Bloomington Normal, 417 in the Metro East area, and 37 at other locations. Chestnut's lines of business are substance abuse treatment for adults and adolescents, mental health services, substance abuse research and training employee assistance programs, housing for the mentally ill, credit counseling, and federal qualified health centers in Bloomington and Granite City. We are more diverse than a typical not-for-profit, Sender said. Unlike many not-for-profits, only two of Chestnut's seven lines of business rely on state funding. The rest comes predominantly from the federal government and corporate reimbursement, which is why Chestnut has been able to navigate state funding delays better than most agencies. There's always has been an entrepreneurial culture around Chestnut, Sender says. Our organization has done a good job responding to community challenges by opening the Crisis Stabilization Center and the FQHC. But Sender said the biggest frustration is recognizing that human services are last on the pecking order list of at the state level. For the past 2 years, Sender has been working with several Chestnut employees to assume his responsibilities, he and Hagen said. But he will remain a member of the Bloomington Normal Airport Authority Board, will stay involved with the Illinois Prairie Community Foundation, and will remain with the ownership group of the Normal Corn Belters. He really enjoys being a part of making Bloomington Normal a great community, said Rob. Bank robber says he stole to pay son's medical expenses. An Indiana man who allegedly told a bank teller he needed to steal money to pay his son's medical expenses was in court Thursday for a bond hearing. Zachary Vincham, 31 of Fort Wayne, must post $30,035 to be released on financial institution robbery charges in connection with Wednesday's robbery of PNC Bank on West Market Street in Bloomington. According to a statement read in court by McLean County Assistant State's Attorney Samantha Vasquez, Fincham passed a note to a bank employee stating that he needed $30,000 for medical care for his son, who has cancer. Fincham went on in the note, said Vasquez, to say he was willing to harm others if necessary and was prepared to die. A weapon was not displayed and no one was injured in the incident. Illinois State Police stopped Fincham a short time after the late morning robbery as he was heading east in a Lincoln Town Car on Interstate 74 near Leroy. Police found a satchel with $3,000 in the car, said the prosecutor. During his interview with police, Fincham said he picked Bloomington from a Google Maps search as a location to rob a bank. He was cooperative and admitted he robbed the bank. He said he had no money and no food, said Vasquez. Vincham confirmed for Associate Judge Amy McFarland that he had no money to post toward his bond. A June 23rd arraignment is scheduled. Heat likely caused Chatsworth derailment. Crews continue to clean up from Tuesday's train derailment near Chatsworth in Livingston County. They are working on it, but it's not causing us any problems here in town, said Mayor Richard Runyon. Around 2 p.m. Tuesday, a westbound Toledo-Peoria and Western train derailed 2 miles east of town. 4 cars derailed, Runyon said. 1 fell over, while 3 others remained upright. Access into and out of Chatsworth was limited for about 2 hours, and crews are still working on the tracks outside of town. The investigation is continuing, but Runyon said railroad officials think the hot temperatures this week had an impact. The railroad people told me that because of the heat, the tracks have a tendency to buckle and will move up and down, he said. That's what's happened before, and it apparently happened again. Temperatures were above 90 degrees earlier this week. There were no injuries reported, Runyon said. This wasn't the first rail derailment, nor the worst in Chatsworth. For those of us that live here, we constantly are reminded about the one that kind of made us famous, he said. It's part of our history, and we recognize that during our anniversary celebrations. In 1887, the TPW passenger train on its way from Peoria to Niagara Falls derailed after crossing over a trestle damaged by a fire. The August 10th crash killed 85 of the 700 passengers. There were also derailments reported in 1951 and 2010. The accident in 2010 fell on the 123rd anniversary of the 1887 derailment and also was blamed on hot weather. And finally, a couple of items off the area calendar. Tomorrow, Saturday, registration will be taken for the 6.6 on Route 66 walk run. 8 a.m. August the 19th route from Funk's Grove to McLean. Early registration until July the 15th. Visit mclean-il.com to register and for more information. And the drop-in DIY Adult Make It Day, Make It Space, will be from 10 a.m. to 4 p.m. Saturday at the Normal Public Library. Sewing machines, craft supplies, silhouettes, 6 3D printer, all supplied, ages 15 and older. And pet adoption and fundraiser will be from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. Saturday at the Hy-Vee in Bloomington by Pet Central Helps. Go to petcentralhelps.org. And finally, the Minock Public Safety Day will be from 2 to 5 p.m. Saturday at Chestnut and Fifth Streets in Minock. Meet first responders. Emergency vehicles will be on display. And this has been Les Schulte with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph for Friday, June the 16th. Until next time, have a great day.